Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Not to sign personally on loans and not to use your own cash until such time you have a reservoir to go to use your own cash.
Before we get into today's episode, are you a fix and flipper who needs some money? Do you need to maybe do more deals and you're limited by the funds you have available? Well then, Fund That Flip, today's best ever sponsor, has a solution for you. And you know Fund That Flip, right? Your loyal best ever listener, the founder, Matt Rodak, he's been on the show multiple times and they have been a previous sponsor and they love working with the best ever listeners and they provide short-term fix and flip loans to experienced investors. They've got an online platform, makes the entire process super easy, and you can get funded in as few as 7 days. So if you're looking for a reliable funding partner, go to fundthatflip.com and mention that, well, you heard about it on the Best Ever Show. Best Ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast. We only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into any of that fluffy stuff. With us today, Chris Prefontaine. How you doing, Chris?
I'm terrific. Thanks, Joe.
Well, nice to have you on the show, my friend. A little bit about Chris. He is the founder of Pre-Property Solutions, which is a real estate investment firm. He buys between 4 to 10 properties a month, and a large percentage of those are done via lease options. He has over 25 years of experience. He's a real estate entrepreneur and mentor, and he's based in Newport, Rhode Island. So with that being said, Chris, you want to get the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and your current focus?
Absolutely. And if you want me to expand, just let me know. I'm going to date myself here, Joe, but I go back to about 1991 as far as real estate goes. Started off with doing some spot building with single family homes, doing that by locating lots during that rotten real estate market back then, and actually putting up homes using other people's money, even the vendors who built the home. I transitioned from that after building a few hundred homes, bought a realty executives franchise in 95, and then ultimately sold that business in 2000 to Coldwell Banker. And that kind of took me into the coaching world and my own deals. And that ultimately led to the lovely 2008 debacle that I had such a fun time going through, as I'm sure all the listeners have. And then in 2000, because of that, in 2012 or 13-ish, we started buying only on terms. You alluded to lease purchase. We also do owner financing, obviously. So those are our primary ways, and that's kind of my shortened 10,000-foot view, anyway, of the path I took to get here.
Uh-huh. You only buy on terms now, which is owner financing and lease options, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're doing 4 to 10 properties a month?
Yeah, we do 4 or 5 a month right here in New England with my son-in-law, Zach, my son, Nick, and my daughter, Kayla. They actually run that buying and selling piece of our business now, like 95 to 99%. I mean, they run it. I've kind of trained them over the last year or so to run it. And the other 5 or plus more come from around the country with the different joint venture partners we team up with. And we are literally partners. We're not just coaching. We're partners in the deal. So total, it approaches 10 to a dozen some months around the country.
Wow. And how do you structure a partnership like that with someone?
We call them joint venture partners around the country, provided that we're a fit for each other, not just them to us. Then we have different levels they can come in on with Smart Real Estate Coach. And depending on what level they come in at from a mentoring and involvement issue, then they will have a split. Generally speaking, it's a 50-50 split. Some of the higher level partners have as high as an 80% split to them. Mm-hmm. And so what does partnering mean? It means we're on the phone, Joe, with their sellers, with them. We're doing the follow-up with them. We're making offers with them. We're literally in the trenches doing deals with them.
Huh. So let's focus on the ones that you and your family are doing, the 4 to 5 in New England a month. So you're finding 4 to 5 properties a month, or owners rather, who are willing and ready to do either a lease option or owner financing.
Yeah, we generate around, our goal is 120. We're usually at or slightly above that as far as leads in a given month. And out of that, we're coming to contract on, yes, 4 or 5 average.
Wow. How do you get 120 leads?
We do a couple things. We have virtual assistants, one in particular who's been with me 4 years now. He's done nothing but calling for 22 years, believe it or not, Joe. You can appreciate that. That's that's quite a few years on the phone. So he's good. He grabs a lot of the for sale by owner leads after sifting through them to get rid of the junk. And then
where does he find the leads? Is just like forsalebyowner.com or Craigslist?
Yeah.
Or?
He sources them a bunch of places. We use a lead service on our resource section. It's free, but it's a company called My Plus Leads. And a lot of the FSBOs will come from that. Craigslist. We have field agents that go around and look for signs only that aren't also online, and they'll feed those to the VA. And so the FSBO market is kind of his world. And then we'll go after a lot of the expireds as well. We have pretty much an automated system in-house to go after the expired listings.
Mm. You said you have field agents that look for signs, the bandit signs. So that's another layer of lead generation. Who are these field agents and how are they compensated?
We run gigs online. My son-in-law does. So he's looking for people that don't mind or are already in a position where they're driving around. Might be a traveling salesperson or just someone that does a lot of driving. And we compensate them $10 per valid lead that they send in. They have rules. They know what valid is. Valid is they can't have it just someone that's online. It's got to be a sign only. Valid is it's not a duplicate. We don't already have it. And if all those pass, then they get every Friday, we do PayPal, and all the field agents get $10 per lead. We have one girl in particular who gets up to 10 or 15 of those per week around New England and just delivers signs. Pretty cool.
That's outstanding. How is that advertised, or where is that advertised? I know you're not the one doing this. Sounds like your son is, but is that just a Craigslist posting or what?
Yeah, we just run free gigs, free postings on Craigslist under gigs. We're looking for those type of people. And, you know, you're running it on Craigslist and there's no contract or anything you have to tie to. So you do lose some, but every now and then, like every 4 or 5 people that come forward, you'll get one that sticks, like this woman that's driving around for us now and doing a great job.
This is great stuff. All right, so let's talk about this VA. 22 years of experience doing calls. You've been working with him for 4 years. What would you say separates him from others that you've seen doing what he does?
Oh man, I burned through, without exaggeration, by myself before my kids took over. I burned through 3 or 4 VAs and was so frustrated. I was ready to throw in the towel and say, forget it, I'll do it myself or I'll find someone here. This guy that I finally stumbled upon is, the short answer is he's scripted and very, very comfortable and therefore sounding confident, as you can imagine, in any real estate conversation. So that's the big difference.
How'd you find him? And I don't want you to give up the source because I don't want to rock the boat, but just in general, how'd you come across him?
I actually went through, as I said, 3 or 4 different VAs with a couple of different companies and stumbled upon him. And once I did, I literally, from the next month on, kept dropping seeds that, look, I want you to come with us. At any point you're dissatisfied with who you are, come with us. And we're now 4 years with him. So about 3 years ago, 1 year into our relationship, he did come on board. So what's really cool is the joint venture partners we were talking about earlier, you and I, they have access to him. So out of our 21 partners or so, I think 17 or 18 have him on the phone. So it's pretty cool that they all have access to him like I do.
Wow. So for someone, a best ever listener who is listening and they're like, I want a high quality VA, where would you recommend going?
Well, they can go to our site and they'll see we have 2 or 3 different recommendations on the site. But if they decide that, hey, that JV thing is something I want to delve deeper into or jump in with both feet, they'd have access to our own VAs.
So for someone who's not in the lease option space, maybe they're storage units or, in my case, multifamily, but I want to find a good VA, what's a good website or company to go to?
You know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to remember the newest one we got, Joe, that actually trains them for hours in the real estate world before they put them to work for you and they find a fit. It's quite a unique concept. They do charge like $1,000 up front to do that, and I like it. We started hiring them. My daughter's on vacation, and I can't even yell out and get that answer for you. I apologize. I want the best ever listeners to get it, though. You know, so if they want to message you or message me, I will get that for you.
Okay. Well, is that on your website, or is that not that?
It should be on the website, and if it's not, by the time we hang up, it will be.
Sweet. And where on the website? Because I'm on your website right now. Where will it be?
They would go under resources.
Oh, resources, virtual assistants. Got it. Well, 120 leads a month, getting 5 deals. What's a deal look like? How is it structured? And maybe do a lease option and then do an owner financing. And just ideally, if you have a specific example for each of those, that would be best.
I can look at my desk and then I'll think of the numbers for that particular deal as literally a deal we're doing right now. So there is a lease purchase deal. So I'll talk generically, then I'll actually give numbers to it. There's a lease purchase deal in New England that we just recently did. We tied it up. I'm going to give you round numbers, Joe, just so to have the listeners drive home the point. So we tied it up for the balance on their mortgage plus $30,000 cash. The balance on the mortgage for the seller was around $300,000. The cash we agreed to give them in addition to the balance on the mortgage was around $30,000. So call it $330,000 all in. There's a caveat to that mortgage balance that I'll hit. But just on the surface going into the deal, I'm looking at $30,000 cash and $300,000 mortgage. I went to market at $439,900. We procured a buyer at that number. My monthly mortgage payment on that $300,000 is going to run around $1,600-$1,700. I went to market at $2,400. So you can see already the spread in the price, the spread in the monthly are both great. Those are 2 paydays. But the other payday that's built in there is when we talk to a seller and we say, great, your mortgage is $300,000. We're going to give you $30,000 cash also. When does that take place? It doesn't take place till at the end of the term, which for us is typically 36 months. At the end of that 36 months, we're going to, at the closing, give them $30,000, but pay off the mortgage that 3 years ago was $300,000 and now is some number less. So there's built-in principal pay down that accrues to us as well. So there's actually 3 paydays for every lease purchase deal, if that makes sense.
All right, so you're making money on the spread with the mortgage versus what you're doing the lease option for. And then explain the $30,000 part where you're paying it at the end again.
Yes, when I talk to a seller, it's either one or two things, typically, to be generic here. Let's say you're my seller. You have a mortgage, and that's about what you've settled with me, that's going to be your total thing. We're taking care of your mortgage for you. We're paying your monthly payment, and at the end, we're going to pay it off. Or, in the example I gave you, we came to terms, you and I, and we said, look, the house is worth more than I owe. Let's call it $330,000, Chris. So you got to take care of my mortgage at $300,000, but I also want $30,000 at the end of your lease purchase contract. So that's where we come up with the extra cash. If they have equity, and if they do any at the end, we'll give it to them at the end of the lease purchase term when our buyer's cashing us out.
And what if your buyer doesn't cash you out?
Great question. Probably the biggest question from sellers, buyers, and clients. So here's what we do. If I structure with you a 36-month term, I'm going to go and get my buyer's pre-screen with my credit enhancement company out of Pennsylvania that is going to give me a term that I can live with some risk factor built in, meaning they'll tell me a couple different brackets. They'll say, Chris, I spoke to your buyer, and they're going to be cashed out, but mortgage ready between 9 and 12 months, 12 to 18, or 18 to 24. I won't take anything longer than that because that to me sounds like a major headache, and that gives me no buffer because I already told my seller on or before 36 months. Now, that's going in the door. That doesn't mean they can't screw it up as they go along and life happens. So what do? We require them to be in the credit enhancement program. It is part of their rent-to-own agreement with us. So at any one point, if they fall off of that program, I'm notified and we go right to them and say, look, not only are you in default, but we're not going to get you to the finish line here, and we get them back on the program. If by chance, and this happens, I'm not going to tell you it never happens, once or twice a year out of 40 or 50 deals, we'll have someone that had a life event. They not only fell off the wagon, but they can't get back on, or they had to go out of state, or they had a death in their family or a divorce. These things have all happened to us. So what do? We have that 36-month buffer built in. We immediately go back to market. We find a buyer that can go ahead and get that done inside of that tight time frame, 12 or 18 or whatever's left in that period with the seller. So that's critical. And let me just say this, Joe, this is so important. I have so many people that call me and they say, look, I've looked into this lease purchase stuff online and all these investors care about is putting these buyers in and they're not getting them to cash out. I'll tell you that we have about a 98, maybe a touch higher percent cash out rate. Why? Because we're obnoxious at the beginning with pre-qualifying these people and make sure they understand they're buyers, not some glorified renter slapping a deposit down only to walk away later. I don't want to know about that. I want to get these people to the finish line and move on so we have happy people on both ends.
What's your long-term approach since your recycling properties? In this model, you're not keeping them.
On our property list, let's call it. I call it my wealth management list, but as we've got about 62 properties today, if I took a snapshot, that are waiting to be cashed out. So every year, there'll be X amount coming on and X amount being cashed out. Now, some of the techniques I use go like this. So let's say you're a seller and I have you in a sandwich lease, I call it. And I have about a year after a sandwich lease, I'll call the owner up, especially if they do cash in a couple of years, like the 30 grand example. And I'll say, look, Joe, I know you got 30 grand coming out in a couple of years. If I was able to put some cash together for you, are you in a position where you can discount it to get your cash today? And I'll go ahead and take the deed to the property, give them a discounted cash amount, and then I'll have no end term on that home and therefore less pressure on my buyer. And so those tend to be a little bit longer term because I don't have my foot on the buyer's back pushing. I'm just letting them be in the home until such time they're mortgage ready. So some of these do get termed out. But right now, out of those 60-some-odd properties in our inventory, I've got about a $2.7 million in cash outs. So if I stop today, over the next 3 to 5 years, I'll have about $2.something million in cash outs. Of course, we don't stop, but if we did, it's not a bad little snapshot. It's not a 15-year snapshot. It's a 2 to 5 year snapshot, if that makes sense.
And then are you buying things for long-term as buy and hold for 30-plus years, or is this the model and you're sticking to it?
This is the model, but there's caveats and exceptions. So I have three properties in our inventory right now that are 9-year lease purchase terms with the seller. Well, how the heck did they do that, or why would they do that? These are sellers that 2 or 3 years ago, I'll give you an exact example. I had a woman that was referred to me from Washington, D.C. Her credit was fine. She was paying a mortgage fine. She just no longer wanted to come back to the snow in New England and deal with a property or have a tenant in it and worry about it. But at the time, 2 or 3 years ago, she owed about what the mortgage was by the time she would get done with a realtor and closing costs, et cetera. So I said to her, I need time for the market to come up and time for your mortgage principal to come down. So I will go ahead and buy your house on a lease purchase. The term will be on or before 9 years. And I will, in the meantime, keep everything current. You won't worry about if I lose my buyer or not. I'm handling it. You'll get your payoff of your mortgage on or before 9 years. But you get no cash out of it. And she just wanted that relief and that mortgage relief and to keep her credit good. So I'm still in that. I'm into that house for about 3.5 years now, and that's a longer term deal. Other times we'll look for and buy on terms multi-units. We have a 4 and a 6 now in our inventory. So regardless of the term we structure on those, we will either sell it before the term comes up or refinance it conventionally, which is odd for us to do. But if we really love the property, we'll keep it long term like that.
And what about now an owner financing example?
So the owner financing deals are, I tell my clients, home runs, because When I structure an owner financing, I'll give you an exact example, my most recent one I can remember. We did a deal that was a small home, $189,000 on the open market. They couldn't sell it with a realtor. They were moving out of state. They remembered me from an other property they had that they did not want to do terms on. And they called and said, look, this is a Friday. You get a kick out of this. And they said, I'm leaving Monday to South Carolina. Can you come this weekend? We want to do that owner financing thing. The last property he had to unload, he didn't really care about it, and he owed zero on it. The owner financing deals are typically when they owe zero, in my world anyway. So I went in and I said, look, if you sold it with a realtor, at best, you're going to get somewhere in the low 180s. I'll give you 183 owner financing. Remember, he was on the market for 189, but yep. Prior to that, higher. So 183 owner financing, I'll pay you $925 a month, and I want a 48-month term. So at the end of the 48 months, I either balloon him out with cashing out my buyer, or I refinance it and keep it for longer term. But the point is, for 48 months, I got $925 coming down off the principal. So if the market even dove on me, I got 48 grand there, or whatever that number is. I went out and sold that for $239.9 for $1,550 a month, plus they pay all taxes. So I've got a nice monthly spread. I've got a great principal pay down, and I've got a spread on my price.
Say those numbers again. You sold it for $240.
Yeah, bought it for $183.
Yep. How much a month?
$1,550.
Wow. Okay.
So $600 or whatever it is in monthly spread plus the principal pay down, which is what makes that whole deal. So that deal, if you do the math, it's over 100 grand. It's probably 110 to 120. All of the owner financing deals, if you stretch them out 48 months, which we do, you're talking a six-figure payday no matter what, as long as you have that full principal, and they don't argue with it.
And explain that before you say how much you put down. Explain the full principal. So you mean that your payments, the $925 to the owner, pays down the principal amount, so the $183.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. And so you're counting when they actually exercise their option, that $920, the $183 times that by 48 months, that amount is minus $183, and that's what you'll eventually owe.
Yeah, so picture, I sold for $240. I'm going to owe the owner probably $145, $148 or whatever that is. There's a nice spread there at the end.
And how much did you put down?
We actually put down 9.25. We put down 1 month on that deal.
$925.
Yeah, that's what we put down on that one.
Wow. Did they ask what is the interest rate?
Some people do. And my answer to them is, I can pay you interest if you want to mess with calculating the reporting of the income every year and all that, but how about if I just pay you the right price right up front and you don't have to worry about reporting any interest income? It's all principal, to which they usually agree.
What document do you use to put this all together?
Great question. I have taken our attorney, who's local here. We've got one in different states, but our main attorney is here in Rhode Island, and he has customized a purchase and sale agreement for us to either do subject to properties with existing debt in place and still taking the deed, owner financing. Either one of those are handled by this custom agreement. So it's literally a fill in the blank and very self-explanatory for the seller and very protective of us, obviously. And then we go to a conventional closing with a HUD statement.
Okay. What's the way to convince a seller to do owner financing?
Usually it's price, Joe. For example, we did a 10-acre estate in Pennsylvania recently. This place was gorgeous. It is gorgeous. And he couldn't sell it, and he's ready to go to Texas in last November before Thanksgiving to be with his five kids. Well, there's some motivation there. And I said to him, Randy, look, you've been trying to sell this thing forever for $450, and you didn't sell it, and you were going to pay a realtor. I will give you the $450 if you give me the term of 48 months and the principal payments monthly. I'll give you your price you're looking for. So there's nothing to convince. What I'm always telling my JV clients and my kids is, you're not here to convince. You're here to just offer them a solution if, in fact, they are looking for one. The only person we can't help is someone that needs cash today to go buy something else. Well, then I don't have a solution. But every other person we can have a solution for, and there is no convincing as long as we know what that pain is for them and if we can fix it.
Let's go with that example, the 10-acre estate. What do you do in that scenario?
Okay, so this gentleman said to us, and I'll be real close on my dates. It was probably last September, October, and he said, by Thanksgiving, I want to be gone. My kids are there, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. Very scary for my new partner in Pennsylvania, but I said, Don, we're going to go ahead and do this, and we'll close this thing by December 1 for this guy. And he said, but what if we don't get a buyer? I said, look, don't worry about it. We have plenty of time, because I knew that the price we were offering this guy per month of $1,500 in monthly principal payments was very low for a $450,000 home. So we put it on the market in our rent-to-own program, and we did pop it by around November 1. We had a nice, strong qualified buyer in there with about 60 grand down up front, non-refundable. So we were able to sit with that buyer, close them, meaning on a lease purchase, and put their money at my attorney's, and then simultaneously turn around and close on the actual purchase of this property. We do pay up front, Joe, and we're not giving any money. We're actually going to pay their transfer tax and anything up front because we can't expect them to come out of pocket to close. So we don't put a down payment, but we do pay their transfer tax if it does apply in that state.
So in that scenario, you've got to find someone who will pay the price that you have it under contract for. And if you don't, then since there's that principal pay down, you have to just watch the principal pay down and just time it so that they're closing later and you have some principal pay down that lowers your eventual purchase price to cover up the difference.
That's one option, the way you just described it exactly. The other two options are, if you think about it, the other one is in our purchase and sales agreement, there's an option to check off a box that makes the entire agreement contingent upon you finding a buyer. We didn't do that with this house, but with the partners are new, a lot of times I'll say just make it contingent upon the buyer. If they can live with that, great. If they can't, it's okay. We usually give ourselves a 90-day window to find the buyer, and if we don't, okay, no hard feelings, everybody goes their way. Or worst case, you commit to closing right away and things blow up and you don't close it. Well, you lose your deposit, which is about $100. That's worst case. Now, we haven't had to go that route, but that's your worst case.
What is your best real estate investing advice ever?
My best advice ever would be not to sign personally on loans and not to use your own cash until such time you have a reservoir to go to use your own cash. I made the big mistake in 08, prior to 08, but it came to a head in 08, of signing on about, 30 loans or so because my credit was good and because I could and because money was easy. Well, big boo-boo. So when things hit the fan, it took me 3.5 years to dig out of that mess.
Ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yeah, let's roll.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. You want to get better at negotiating real estate? Well, how about, do you want to get better at negotiating real estate for free? Even better, right? Well, go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. Fund That Flip, today's sponsor, has partnered with bestselling author Jay Scott to provide you with a free chapter from Jay's new book on negotiating real estate. I've read the book. Lots of good real-world case studies sprinkled in there, too. I love it when they do that. Go to fundthatflip.com/best ever to download your free copy of the chapter today. Are you ready to close more deals and officially seal your financial freedom? The Dwellin Show with Ola Dantas discloses the most innovative real estate investing strategies to kickstart your quest to financial freedom. Go listen at www.dwellin.com/show. That's dwellynn.com/show. Best ever book you've read?
McDonald's, Hunt of the Golden Arches.
Best ever deal you've done?
Owner financing, the deal I told you from the guy going to Texas. By far the best deal.
A mistake you've made on a transaction?
Signing personally on a loan.
What is the best ever way you'd like to give back?
We had an experience with my son having a head injury, going into a coma after a snowboard accident, and we give a piece of every single deal we do to Franciscan Children's Hospital after that, and we love doing that. Great energy.
How can the best ever listeners get in touch with you, Chris?
They can go to smartrealestatecoach.com, or they can simply email us support@smartrealestatecoach.com.
I tell you, Chris, this was a conversation that fed me the real estate knowledge I was looking for this morning, and I'm very grateful that you're actively doing it. You've got a system. You're very intentional about the two types of deals that you do, and you got into the specifics. Thank you for walking us through the lease option purchase deal, the owner financing approach, how to navigate both of those should a couple different scenarios come up. I loved our conversation. Very grateful for it. Hope you have a best ever day, Chris, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Are you ready to close more deals and officially seal your financial freedom? The Dwellin Show with Ola Dantas discloses the most innovative real estate investing strategies to kickstart your quest to financial freedom. Go listen at www.dwellynn.com/show. That's DWELLYNN.com/show.